Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yesterday, Devontae Adams informs the organization that he would prefer to be elsewhere. My understanding is there is nothing imminent. In other words, there is no trade going on right now. The Raiders have, I would say, canvassed several teams in the NFL, looked at a potential market, just see what maybe potentially they could get. That is one scenario. There are also scenarios where Devontae Adams lands back with the Raiders, stays there, everything ends up okay. There are certainly a couple different ways this could go. But as of right now, the most important news regarding Devontae Adams is that he has told the team he prefers to be elsewhere. Absolutely something we're going to continue monitoring today, tomorrow, next week, and right up through the NFL trade deadline.
Ian Rappaport on Devontae Adams. We'll get back to it here on Jones and Keefe. It's High Noon, WEEI. Phone call 617-779-7937. But real quick, a couple of notes from Jerod Mayo, his press conference last hour. We gave you the update on David Andrews. He confirmed Andrews done for the year. Does that change the outlook for Drake May? Should it change the outlook for Drake May? You guys can jump in on that. A couple of other items. Number one, he said it's definitely under consideration that Gibson, Antonio Gibson, starts the game over Ramondre Stevenson after Stevenson fumbled each of the first four games, including losing fumbles in the last two.
He's got a problem with the ball. Ball security has not been top priority.
Why would you do that now?
You could have benched him in the game, but you didn't bench him in the game. And it's not like Gibson wasn't available last game.
And Gibson was good last
game. He was in the game.
Gibson,
good.
Gibson made big plays. He's been good all year.
So maybe he will. I was looking at a Gibson anytime touchdown, plus 275 in some places. I was like, I thought it'd be a longer shot than that.
I'd want more juice on that. Yeah, I'd want like plus four something.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, is this one of those things where after the fact, Mayo's regretting not taking him out more? And he's like, all right, now I'm going to do it? Or is it like, it's too late for that?
No, it's that it's not his call. This would be another example of Jerod Mayo in real time, let Ramondre Stevenson play. And if it's a consideration to start Antonio Gibson and, like, send that message to Stevenson now, it's clear it wasn't Mayo's message. It's somebody else's. Now, whose is that? Is it Elliot Wolfe? Is it Alex Van Pelt? I doubt it'd be Van Pelt. Van Pelt was on the coaching staff right there on the sideline.
Yeah.
Would the Crafts intervene on that? Like,
I don't think that's...
Me either.
No.
So I don't know whose message it would be, but it's not Mayo's. If Mayo lets him play one series off... lets him go back to playing last week against the Niners and then sends the message this week?
No, I think that is a Mayo decision. Don't you?
No.
When they punted on fourth down, you think that was a Van Pelt decision or a Mayo decision?
Mayo.
Yes, okay. So I think that part's a Mayo decision. When Stevenson didn't play the first series after the fumble, you think that was a Mayo decision?
Oh, yeah. I think that's a Mayo decision. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. But I think he went back to Stevenson.
He did.
So I'm saying this week, if Stevenson does not start the game, that's not a Mayo decision. That's what I'm saying. That's somebody else's decision.
Oh, okay.
And maybe it's
Van Pelt coming up with his first 15 plays or 10 plays or whatever it is, and he's all right, he's not going to be in there.
But no, or it's just Elliot Wolfe saying, hey, look, we can't send a message, Jerod.
Yeah, pick a lane.
Or the way ownership would get involved is it has become a talking point. And there are people questioning it in the media, the fan base going, what the hell? What's up with this problem? This never would have happened under Bill. And maybe Robert or Jonathan waltz downstairs and go, what's going on with this? And I don't know. It wouldn't go from Mayo giving the guy a series off and letting him play again to then not letting him start the next game. Like somebody, and I don't know who, but somebody would impress their opinion on Mayo to change his mind, because we all saw how he handled it in real time against San Fran.
Okay, now I get what you're saying.
Yeah, right?
So, because when Belichick would bench guys, it would be in-game and be for the rest of the game, right? And then sometimes I feel like it would carry over to the next week. Sometimes it wouldn't. A lot of times it would, right?
Stevenson his rookie year. He didn't play for like weeks.
Yeah. Stevenson his rookie year was an example. He hadn't really been established yet. Nope. I think some of the established guys were a little bit different.
Douglas last year got benched week two, I think, against Miami, but then was back the following week, if I'm not mistaken.
I just wonder, though, if this is... whether it's Mayo or Van Pelt, is it sort of the two of them hearing all the chatter about it? Like, is there, because they're like, hey, this is how we did it live in game.
Right.
And now it's been a lot of constant talk about, like, what are you doing? Specifically, Bill would have been different. Whether that should be the reason why you change or not is maybe beside the point. But because it's been a big talker this week, you're already adamant that you're sticking with Jacoby Brissett, but like, what other coaching decision can you make? Well, this guy, who's supposed to be your best player on offense, keeps dropping the ball, so what are you going to do about it?
So what's worse? Is it worse if he changed his mind based on like a narrative, or is it worse that somebody else told him to do it differently? What's worse?
Well, I feel like the second thing is we already feel like he's not in charge of the offense. He's not already running a lot of things. So if he's going against his own instinct, I feel like that's worse. Like it's game five and now you're being like, oh yeah, maybe I should have done that. It's like, you feel that way? Or is it just because that's the chatter and everybody's ripping you for that? But this would never happen under Belichick. I think he knows they don't have a ton of great players, and Ramondre Stevenson has the potential to be one of the few, at least very good players. Mm-hmm. And if you have any chance of beating Miami and like scoring some points, I think Ramondre is going to have to be a big part of it. So my guess is he just starts the game on Sunday.
So my guess is that's the case too, but he says it's definitely under consideration.
I didn't hear the question, though. Was it like a leading question like that?
Probably. I'd imagine it's something like, does Gibson...
or does Ramondre start this week?
Yeah,
maybe
well,
that was the question. I don't know.
The quote I'm reading is from a Reese tweet. It's definitely under consideration that Gibson starts. Definitely under consideration is in quotes. So I think, is it possible Antonio Gibson starts this week and you send a message to Ramondre Stevens? Definitely under consideration.
It's also a weird thing. It's not like starting in some of the other sports where I understand what the first series means and you go out there, but also depending on the formation and the play calls, like Gibson could start and Ramondre could get 20 carries. Like the way football is.
Right.
You know, so my bigger question is, his overall
role, stay benched? Right.
Yeah, or just is his role less? Like he's out there in like a few passing plays. He's out there. He's not getting the ball.
My guess is if you're starting Gibson, that would be representative of
maybe
a change in role.
Well, the first 2 weeks, it looked like he was going to break the record for touches.
Yeah, and then like, he's going to get 400 touches this
week. Week three, they're like, we got to get Pop Douglas going. So Ramondre barely touched the ball in week three, but even when he did, he fumbled. And then week four, he fumbled again.
3-7, 93-7. Jones, you're such a donkey. True.
Agreed.
This is 100% Mayo's choice not to start Stevenson. You sound ignorant. I mean, maybe. It should be the coach's decision. Just why would he handle it a certain way last week and then do a complete U-turn this week and start Gibson?
Also,
that would be inconsistent.
Folks, is it his decision to start Jacoby Brissett?
Right, thank you. I like this too. 3-7, 93-7. Mayo would sit the offense's best player and continue to play their worst player, Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think
that's a bold move.
I don't think that is completely up to him.
No, I don't either.
You know what I was also thinking about when we're, you know, like whose decision is it? And Mayo's the one that has to answer all these questions about it. Do you remember, I think it happened in the preseason and then maybe once early in the season. I think once with Greg and then maybe one other press conference scenario. He referenced the fact that he was the rookie of the year.
Mayo's done that multiple times.
Multiple times.
Yeah, yeah.
He has referenced the fact that he was defensive rookie of the year. You know how you can't be rookie of the year? Not play. So don't you think, like, he himself had a ton of success as a rookie in the NFL.
That's a good point. His own experience, you would think if he applied it to Drake May, he'd be like, yeah, you'll learn by playing.
You can play. Rookies can have success.
He has seen it himself. I was rookie of the year. I played. Good point.
The fact that he even brought that up, like, great. If I was rookie of the year, I'd bring it up every day in every conversation. So I'm not even faulting him for bringing it up. Like, it's a great achievement. And he was also a top 10 pick.
Yep.
So he has that in common. I don't think he thinks it would have been best for him to sit. And he sees rookies have success all the time, but no more so than himself.
One other note from Mayo. He said he's not concerned about losing the locker room.
That's what everybody says right before you lose it. No, you know what's funny is he and Doug Peterson were both being asked about the same thing at the exact same time. The Jaguars coach, there was a report that he already has lost it. There's no report that Mayo has lost it. It's just that, like, oh, it's kind of teetering and there's different things. Down in Jacksonville, it's like a full-on question, and Peterson was much more defiant and pushed back against it. But that's usually, you know, when a GM or an owner says the coach is safe, like, oh, no, coach is definitely safe. You're like, oh, boy.
Oh,
like,
what's boy, next? We're on thin ice.
No, but that's why this is a big game in that. Like, it's not a big game in, like, oh, my God, they're 2-3. I'm like, wait, well, how can they get in the playoffs? It's a big game on they're actually the favorite. It's an undermanned Miami team. They're at home. If they win this, that buys them a little bit more. Forget the Brissett thing, but it just kind of, all right, the coaching staff got smoked in consecutive weeks. Scoreboard was lopsided, but not as lopsided as it really was.
Way worse.
So they got pantsed, right? Like Mayo, Covington, Van Pelt, they all got pantsed. So do you respond by coming out and beating Miami? Even if it's an ugly game, if you get a win, okay. Like maybe everything kind of cools down a little bit. You've also lost a bunch of players due to injury. That would be such a big response. Unfortunately, the flip side is also true. If you lose a fourth straight game and lose to the worst team that you've played so far, like, look out. Look out below.
Well, and Curran said the culture with the team, the locker room's good, but he said if they lose this Miami game, let's see how that looks. One more from Mayo, and then we can get to Davante Adams. He was asked about Godchow and his recent comments here on Jones and Keefe.
Nice.
He said, I'm okay with that because that's what I said in the squad meeting.
Ooh, squad meeting.
Some of those plays are selfish plays. So there you go. So Mayo is calling these players out for being selfish. I wonder how that's going over with the Keon Whites and Josh Uche's of the world. I guess we'll see.
And like as good as Keon White's start was, like you're not Aaron Donald.
Nope.
So like you can't kind of do your own thing. Josh Uche is not even, you know, Pete Donald. Like he's none of these guys. So how do they take this coaching? Like it's an opportunity to kind of get these guys, swing these guys back in line. You have somebody like Devon Godchow who is a veteran player.
Yep.
Maybe he'll help and guys will kind of realize that. Like, that wouldn't be the first time that happened where somebody gets called out, and then rather than responding negatively, they actually take to it and they take the coaching and boom.
Maybe. Pop Douglas called the team out before the Jets.
Yeah.
Godchow called the team out after the Niners, and let's see who's calling the team out after the Dolphins next week. So that's definitely worth following. I also think it's worth following the Davante Adams situation for the Patriots. You don't think there's any chance he'd come here, Keith?
I think there's zero chance he comes here, but that doesn't mean Elliott Wolf shouldn't pick up the phone and be interested. If you were in on Calvin Ridley and Brandon Ayuk, Calvin Ridley was just money. Ayuk was money and picks and maybe a player.
They were in on Hopkins the year before. I know he wasn't the point person,
but
he was on that. He was part of that front office.
So if you're in on big-time receivers and a big-time receiver becomes available, why would you then ignore this one? I just would be shocked by it because I think there is going to be a decent number of teams interested. I think the trade packages will be kind of similar, and Davante Adams could sort of be like, yeah, let's go here or here. And I think he's going to end up maybe with the Jets, the Saints. Apparently there's a lot of heat with the Saints because of Derek Carr, also the receivers coach. I guess he says like a mentor of his. So whatever, those are two teams. He makes sense with a lot of teams, Bills, Commanders, Chiefs, whatever. Patriots should be interested. I think it would help develop the quarterback. I know the offensive line sucks, but we're not talking about, you know, Jonathan Ogden's available right now.
Right.
He's not. So a receiver is available. They should be interested, but unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay. I'm not sure it's going to happen either, but like this idea that Adams would never entertain coming to the Patriots, I'm not sure about that. And there are ways to entice him. He has no guaranteed money after this year. So all things being equal, he's just going to play out his contract this year. He wouldn't want to play it out in New England. I agree with that. And it doesn't matter if you offer the most. He has a de facto no-trade clause.
No,
he can say, I don't care if the Patriots are offering you a second-round pick. I won't play there. But he has no guaranteed money in 2025, no guaranteed money in 2026. If you guarantee some of that money or you're willing to talk with him about an extension, that's how you get a foot in the door with Davante Adams. And you were willing to pay Ayuk. You were willing to pay Ridley. You were willing to give some money the year before to DeAndre Hopkins. So is this the kind of guy they should be in on? I go back and forth on that. He tailed off from certainly his Green Bay days to even his first year in Vegas to last year.
He was pretty good in Vegas his first
what
year.
No, I'm saying from his Green Bay days to his first year in Vegas to last year in Vegas, which was good for most receivers, but a step down for him. He didn't go to the Pro Bowl. He wasn't all pro. He's not going to either this year, it doesn't look like. And now he's been a bit of a malcontent. He is a malcontent. So I go back and forth on whether or not he's the right guy to be all in on. But this business that the Patriots couldn't entice him, I don't necessarily agree with. Maybe they won't. Maybe they won't choose to go there. But A, they should make the call and figure out what it would take. B, they should see if he really wants to win or if he's more interested in getting that new contract. And if he's interested in the contract, the Patriots can get a foot in the door. They could offer a second or a high third, which may trump the other best offers. They should at bare minimum be picking up the phone and seeing what the Raiders' interest would be, what Davante Adams' interest would be. And I do think it would change the timeline for some people out there to get Drake May on the field. You give him a number one.
Yeah.
It's not protecting him with the offensive line, but it's giving him a big weapon in the passing game that he could meld with.
I think people now, like, they have a short memory, which I'm guilty of as well. But Josh Allen and Tua, before Diggs and Tyreek Hill got there, were not anywhere the players they are now. Like,
right.
Josh Allen, I remember with both guys, when those trades happened, being like, Steph Diggs is going to kill Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen, like, they were winning some games, but he wasn't very accurate. People were even wondering, like, is this guy going to be the guy in Buffalo?
100%.
And then they hit the ground running with Diggs. Tua was clearly back and forth, not just injuries, but he didn't look great. And then Tyreek Hill went there. So Tyreek Hill left Patrick Mahomes to play with Tua, who admittedly looks better now, but part of it was because of Tyreek Hill. So I'm with you. Like, receivers will go anywhere where the money is. The difference here is Adams is almost 32. Ayuk was, what, 25, 26?
Yeah, mid-20s, yeah.
So you can kind of grow with Ayuk versus, like, you need Adams right now. Also, I think it's tough that we haven't seen Drake May at all, meaning even Adams hasn't seen Drake May at all. So he's like, I'm not, how long am I going to play with Jacoby Brissett? Like, I think he would just be out on it from Jump Street.
617-779-7937. Should the Patriots pick up the phone? Is it worth their time? Would Adams entertain it? What would it cost to get Davante Adams? And would it change the timeline for Drake May? You can jump in on all of that here on Jones and Keefe. Where's he going to wind up? We can delve into that further. And let's get back into Mayo and the locker room. Is he already, 1 month into his first year as head coach of the New England Patriots, at risk of losing the locker room?
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
One of your players this week, Devon Godchild, said that he thought players were being selfish on defense, how they were approaching the game plan. Do you concur with that, and how do you feel about a player voicing that?
No, I'm okay with the player voicing that, because that's what I said in the squad meeting. And so everything I say to the players, and I'm not saying it as a secret, we just have to play better together. And especially defensively, like, well, I would say across the board, it takes 11 people to make a big play. I know one person gets all the praise and things like that, but it takes everyone being on the same page. And you know, I agree with DG in regards to, you know, some of those plays are selfish plays. That's exactly what it is.
That was Jerod Mayo last hour. Asked about our interview earlier this week with Devon Godchow. DG.
Good week for Godchow. Not sure. I could be wrong. I'm not sure we would have gotten the same thing from Christian Gonzalez. I mean, don't quote me on that, but I feel like it might have been a little bit different.
Billy, do we know who we're getting? Or is Billy back there? Do we know who we're getting on Patriots Friday yet? I'm guessing no.
I think it might. Don't think we know, but I think it might be
on
Wanu.
Dietrich Weisel and lock in on that one. I think you're right. It's probably on Wanu.
I bet it's on Wanu.
Okay. He might answer. On Wanu.
Gonzo is a man of few words.
Let's get him every Patriots Monday then. Perfect. So,
you know, that's good for the radio.
Yep.
A few words, good for the radio. Yeah.
So, my guess is on Wanu, and it'll come at a time where we can ask him about the news of the day, David Andrews being shut down for the year.
That's true. But when it comes to that update from Mayo, and there's a lot of interesting stuff from him, he said he wasn't worried about losing the locker room. He said it's under consideration to start Antonio Gibson over Ramondre Stevenson, which I think ties back into the locker room, by the way. He added, we can't preach ball security and then continue to trot Stevenson out there, to which I would say, well, that's what you did.
Well, they're also all over the map, right? Because it was all about competition. Everything's competition, competition, yeah. Competition.
Yeah.
But if Drake May outperforms Jacoby Brissett, then if he wins that competition, shouldn't he be the one out there? Like, oh, no, it's kind of other stuff. Well, if a guy fumbles 4 weeks in a row and the other guy looks pretty good, by the way, I think Gibson's not been bad. Like, when they've given him an opportunity and yet he still can't crack the lineup over the guy who's fumbled four times.
Right. It's about, as you said, competition. So Drake May was outperforming Jacoby Brissett. He doesn't get the job. Antonio Gibson is holding on to the football. Ramondre Stevenson isn't. He's fumbling every week, and Gibson is struggling to get more reps.
Mm-hmm.
Is that rewarding the players who are playing the best? Is that rewarding the competition? Doesn't seem that way.
Gibson has more yards per carry and four fewer fumbles.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are the total touches for him?
He has 29 carries and he has 7 catches, so 36 touches.
What's Stevenson at?
65
wow.
Carries.
Okay, so
and 9. So what is that? 74 touches.
Yeah. So, you know, roughly half the touches of Ramondre Stevenson, and he's outperforming them, performing him on a per touch basis, and he's not fumbling.
Yeah.
And so, is that about competition? Is that about playing the guys who are playing the best? And are you holding guys accountable? It all goes back to Mayo and his grasp on the locker room, the team culture, however you want to refer to it. And that's becoming concerning a month in. Is he at, I don't think he's already lost the locker room. I think that's too strong. But I think he's already at risk of losing the locker room. And a lot of people are sending this in on social media. It's a fair point. Text line as well. Our guy Ray complains a lot but loves the show, apparently. Jones WEEI at Keefe21.
Let us have it.
You're complaining about the locker room and you want to bring in Davante Adams?
Touche.
Fair point. I mean, you got me there.
He might not be thrilled, but I know what you're saying. This is more about a Drake May development thing.
Well, and at least it's a talented player who's a problem in the locker room.
I'm saying like a month ago, and maybe not everybody was on board
with
this.
It's not. No offense to Godchow, and no offense to Pop Douglas, but like,
no,
I think Davante Adams is in a different stratosphere.
No, he is. But yeah. I'm saying so a month ago, and maybe not everybody was on board with this, but Brandon Ayuk wanted out of San Francisco, or at least that's what was being put out there publicly. Clearly, he just wanted the best deal possible.
Yep.
But if he wanted out of San Francisco, that's even different than Adams wanting out of the Raiders. Well, who wouldn't want to leave the Raiders now? But who wants to leave the Niners?
We haven't even mentioned this. You saw Antonio Pierce liked a tweet or a post on Instagram about him wanting out of Vegas.
No, it's like somebody was like, is this Davante Adams' last game as a Raider? And Antonio Pierce liked it. Like, what are we doing here?
Nice.
But this is like, it's a whole new world, Jones. Like, we have now surpassed it where now they're like all the players and most of the coaches are younger than us.
Yeah.
And so the coaches are flying through Instagram, probably on the can, liking different tweets.
Does Mayo have Instagram? Should I know
this? Yeah, probably.
He does, right? I mean, I would assume.
I think he has both.
Jerod Mayo. Like, I could see
him doing this.
I could see Jerod Mayo accidentally liking a tweet like that,
right,
or liking
somebody,
a post on Instagram like that.
Somebody has to get on. Yeah, Jerod Mayo.
Mayo's Instagram is private.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean.
Should I follow him?
But can you still follow his likes?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Or like, is there anybody out there who could see it if he liked something from one of his players or something about one of his players? Probably.
This is what his. Do you read anything into this? This is what his bio says. So everybody has a bio on Instagram and Twitter.
Good. Yeah, what's yours? You know yours offhand?
Mine's like hilarious dude, alpha male, that kind of thing. No, mine is
at Jones and Keefe 10-2 on WEEI.
It's
not exactly the most creative.
On Twitter, it's Jones and Keefe, a dork podcast. I can beat Mega Man 2 and Super Mario 2, sword owner, corncob TV subscriber.
So there's a few jokes in there.
My Instagram bio is, I heard this was the place to be for food porn and butt models.
And you were right. You were right. So if you that's his Twitter, if you're watching on Twitch and YouTube, but I have his Instagram up.
Okay, well, his Twitter is the official all caps Twitter of Gerard Mayo.
No,
Patriots linebacker.
Verified.
Oh, wait. Oh,
it's
wait.
Not even verified.
That's not verified?
No, there's no check mark.
Okay, but he's still, it's the official. Just because you write it's the official.
Oh, I thought you were, questioning if Terp had the proper one up there.
Pass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think Terp's probably right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's the fake Patrick Pass. Everybody always thinks it's Patrick Pass.
Yeah. Devoted husband and father.
Okay. All right, so this is Gerard Mayo's Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gerard underscore Mayo 51 if you're interested. This one is verified. 139,000 followers. Husband.
Yep.
Check. Father of four.
Okay.
NFL All Pro.
Okay. One time, yeah.
He didn't specify the time.
No, I'd nitpick that, but sure, yeah.
Pro bowler.
Okay.
Super Bowl champion linebacker for New England.
I think he was hurt that year, but keep going, yep.
Businessman. New NE Patriots coach.
Where's his rookie of the year?
Oh, so are you questioning where he put that in the bio?
The list of priority. Obviously, on the priority list, he has NE Patriots coach. Doesn't even say head coach. So maybe he just hasn't been active.
He hasn't updated
it. Maybe that's true.
Too busy. He's too busy. Liking all the ass models out there.
You can't blame them.
Yeah,
but once you like one of them, forget about it. The algorithm is like, this is what you like.
We all heard that's where where the butt models are.
Yep.
Hello, everyone. Surprised to see me here? Oh, I am too.
I am too.
I don't know if he follows him. I can't tell. I think they asked him actually about it. Didn't they ask him when he first joined?
We know Bill doesn't follow Mayo.
Right.
Bill follows 12 people.
Just trash. He just tells Lombardi to trash him all the time. Yeah, talk about how bad the Pats were. That's the other thing, these guys. We talked about yesterday. 1-0, they don't say a peep about the Patriots. No. Now they've lost three in a row. It's like, I don't know what the plan is.
Okay.
Bill's up to 18 now. He's following Jim Gray now.
In fairness, they deserve well.
Gross. I know they did the show together.
18.
What does that mean?
Manning.
And Lawrence Taylor.
LT. I bet he's a good follow. You get some of those stories.
And Ocho Cinco.
What the hell? What do you think LT's on Instagram doing?
I don't even want to answer that. I don't even want to answer that question based on that man's track record. But yeah, with Mayo, I could see him doing the same thing Antonio Pierce did, with liking something by accident. Mm-hmm, I could totally see that.
Mm-hmm.
And no, when it comes to his situation with the locker room and team culture, if Mayo's going to lose that this early, and again, I'm not saying it's lost, but I think it's teetering. You know, Pop Doug, I had even forgot about this one. Pop Douglas is out complaining after a couple of weeks he's not getting the football enough. Devon Godshaw is calling his teammates selfish. And Mayo said, yeah, great, I said the same thing in a squad meeting. Okay, it's now getting out for you said it in a squad meeting. Now your players are talking about it in the media. Players, plural now, are talking about that. So if he's going to lose the locker room, Keith, what does he do? I thought the whole idea was he was going to improve the locker room, improve team culture. Everybody's going to be happy. If he can't do that, what does he do?
Yeah, it's tough because where do you turn? You don't have the track record to fall back on. I don't know. Now, one thing, and it took a little bit to get there, and it looked like he was being tested very early, was the Matt Judon situation.
Yep.
And we had that scene on the practice field. You're like, where is this going to go? Well, they eventually moved on from the player. Right, like that scene happened,
eventually, but yes, they did.
They moved on from him.
Highway or the highway, 2 weeks later.
So yes. There might be some hiccups along the way, but we got to see kind of what it looks like. And the one thing that you do have going for you is you don't really have a lot of untouchable players. So
no.
If you might have zero. They're all touchable. They're all very touchable players.
Very touchable.
But you can get to a point where if the locker room's going one way, like remember when Bill Belichick, it got to the point where even Bill had to take Randy Moss and be like, all right, we're done with this.
Yeah.
Like, they had to trade Randy Moss, and it killed me, but they did. And they ended up being pretty good after the fact and everything else. So he kind of broke up that group, wasn't it? Was it Moss, Adalys Thomas, a couple other guys that were kind of popping off, sounding off in the locker room? And
yeah,
he knew.
That was all 2010.
Yes. And, and he knew that those guys had pretty prominent voices. And he was like, all right, like,
get out of here.
You're done.
And we're going to go 14-2 without you. They lost to the Jets, but
still, like,
his locker room back.
So maybe there's a little bit of that. I think I do think we're far away from that. But when you ask, what can he do? Well, you got to kind of sniff out who the real problems are and then figure it out.
Well, I'm not even saying, what can he do? I'm saying, if he doesn't have the culture and the locker room in a good place, what does he do? I'm saying, like, what does he bring to the table?
What is his strength? I thought this was his strength. I thought this was his expertise. I thought this was the difference from Bill. And again, Curran said this yesterday. Well, the locker room is better than last year. Well, I would hope.
Mm-hmm.
And Mayo was a big problem last year, by the way. He was a big part of the issue in the locker room and with the culture a year ago because him and Bill were openly feuding. And so that was a big part of the problem, along with the quarterbacks, Zappe and Mayo, Mac Jones, and sides being chosen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, what does he bring to the table if he's not bringing that to the table? Maybe I should phrase it more that way.
Yeah,
I don't get what he does. I don't get what his strength is.
I'm a people person. Can't you see that?
Like, he's already at risk of losing the locker room. What? I don't get what you do if you don't do that.
I know. I mean, let's see. Like, it's definitely, there are examples of it kind of going off right now, and you just wonder, all right, Chukwuma Okorafor doesn't like what he's being asked to do, and he leaves. And you're like, all right, keep an eye on that.
Yeah,
like
maybe he's just an a-hole. He was kind of that in Pittsburgh, so fine. Maybe that's a one-off. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I also think it's going to come back down to, too, with like a lot of these teams, especially when you have a young head coach. Like, do you have veteran players? You know, we had Andrew Whitworth, for example, was on our show a while ago, and like wasn't he there when Sean McVay was like a head coach at like 30?
Yep.
Well, you had a player on your team that was like older than you. Like, you had other guys that could kind of police it. How many stories have we heard about Willie McGinnis? Like, when Bill first got here, like, you're kind of all set. Like, if Willie bought in, good. Everybody else is going to follow his lead. So you lose David Andrews, you lose Juwan Bentley. How many guys can Mayo even rely on to be like, hey?
Good question.
You and I are in lockstep, so if they don't want to hear from the coach all the time, they can hear from the player. I don't know. Like, I'm looking up and down. It's nobody on offense. I mean, maybe they're hoping it's Brissett, but it really can't be. And then on defense, like, who's the guy that sort of stands out and is the players will fall in line because they're kind of intimidated by a certain guy on the team? I don't think they have that guy.
I mean, Peppers?
I guess.
Here's what I would say about him. No offense. He's never even been on a winning team in the NFL.
No.
Like, you hear this all the time.
And you see him in that helmet, you're like, I can't listen to this. Like, I'm not.
You hear this about Jabril Peppers all the time. I said this in the middle of last year. People got mad at me.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, you know, people, oh, I'd take Jabril Peppers on my team any day of the week. You would? Well, then your team probably has a losing record because he's never been on a winning team in the NFL.
He's running the risk of also being that guy now that hits his own teammates as much as the other team. And you're like, dude, like,
chill out, hit
the guys on the other uniform.
Friendly fire, not cool.
It's too much. But no, like, I guess he's a veteran guy.
Maybe he's one.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if they really have that, which is going to make it tougher for Mayo and Covington and Van Pelt, for sure.
So you can jump in on this. 617-779-7937. Is Mayo already at risk of losing the locker room? I think he's already at risk of it, and maybe he's lost it. I don't feel that way yet, but talk to me next week. We'll get to the Celtics. Who's the biggest threat to them in the Eastern Conference coming up? But real quick before we get to that, Elliot Friedman on his 32 Thoughts podcast, I guess, updated the Swayman negotiations.
Ooh,
Keith.
Yes.
And he's been mostly on your side of the street with Swayman's ask. Let's hear the latest from Elliot Friedman.
I think after that press conference on Monday, whether they did it formally or not, everybody knows they have 8x8 on the table. They started, and I think Ryan Whitney was right on at 4x6.25. I think at one time they had 8x6.5 on the table or thereabouts. Now they're at 8. Jeremy Swayman, as I've reported many times, I've heard his initial stake in the ground was Charlie McAvoy, 8x9.5. It is harder to figure out exactly where Swayman is, but I do believe he's come down. And if the Bruins are at 8, I think, I can't say this 100%, he's around 9, high 8s. That is purely my opinion based on everything I've heard over the last day.
All right, opinion? All right, so
he said it's hard to pin down. So to recap, he was at 6.25. That's a Spit and Chicklets report.
Okay.
They went to 6.5. Now they're obviously at 8x8, although it might be 7.8. But whatever, let's not quibble with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Swayman, and he has reported this before, initially wanted the McAvoy contract, 9.5 AAV. He's now around 9 or the high 8s. Keefe?
I think the Bruins are stuck on 8, and I think Camp Neely kind of confirmed that the other day when he said 64 million reasons. So I think he's locked in on that. It's the most years, and it's a lot of money, and it's way up from where they started, right? So 6.5, now that might have insulted you, but if the end result was 8, like, I still think that's good, Right, like how they got there might be convoluted, but I think 8 is very fair.
Well, let me just put it to you like this. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
the Bruins went from 6.5 or 6.25 even to 8. So let's say that's $1.5 million, 1.75. They've moved in their mind. Swayman went from 9.5 to 9, maybe high 8. So
there's no wiggle room on his end. Well, I think even if he started at 10, which I still believe is where he started. Yep. So 10 to 8, 6 to like. So if he wants high 8s, so if they offered 64 and he really wants 8.5, what does that end up equaling for like total?
68
million?
Yeah.
So these guys are fighting publicly about $4 million over the course of 8 years. Now, I know hockey contracts are a lot different than other ones, because other ones you'd be like, oh, my God, they wipe themselves with $4 million in these other sports. But in this one, I guess it is a bigger deal. I just feel like that's still kind of close.
Well, so what does that tell you? That tells you how bad the situation is and how bad the blood is on both sides,
and also how maybe not true that is.
Okay.
Like, there's also a chance that it's further still. And maybe Swayman's still holding out for 10, or he's holding out for 9.5. He's not willing to wiggle.
Or the Bruins are like, look, we're not moving, to your reporting.
Yeah.
We're not moving off 8. That's our last best offer. We're not moving off it. If you don't want to take it, tough. We'll see you December 1st. Show up or don't. You're not playing anywhere else.
Yeah.
This is our best offer.
And I don't think either side, I shouldn't say either side. I don't think the Bruins have ever gotten into this situation before. They might have saw it kind of coming.
Not with this regime, no.
No, well, yes. And I mean, like, you know, Pastrnak obviously wanted a lot of money. They ended up giving him a lot of money. And I don't think it was like a disaster negotiation. Torrey Krug, they could kind of sniff out that he's going to want more. So they traded him. And so he was gone. This one's different. And Swayman's agent has been through it before, but Swayman himself hasn't been through this before. So you wonder, once the season starts, is either side more likely to give in? I also still wonder, too, the Bruins publicly said $64 million. Does that number, people are wondering, oh, will they go up for Swayman? I don't know. Will it go down? Will their offer be like, all right, every day that you're not here, not every day, but you know what I'm saying? Like, is there a chance they're like, that's what it was. And if you don't sign it before the season starts, how about $60 million total? Like, I wonder if they start tinkering with it that way.
Well, good luck. Good luck getting him to show up if that's the game the Bruins want to play. And I'd question if they even offered 64. I gave him credit for that early yesterday. I'm like, why would... I don't believe Neely would say it if they didn't really offer it. I'm now questioning that. I don't think they offered that.
So you think you believe the 62.4?
Well, I just...
Because it is very semantics by the agent, but he's correct.
Yeah. No, and right. Like, at the end of the day, what are we really talking about? It's the right ballpark.
So we've never heard of $64 million.
But for Neely to put that number out there, it needed to be right. And I think he put out a faulty number. I didn't believe that early yesterday, but I now believe that. He might have been close. He might have been in the ballpark.
Yeah.
That might have been the spirit of what he was talking about, but it wasn't accurate. And for you to reveal numbers, if you're going to play the reveal the numbers game, those numbers better be right. And I don't think they were.
You know, we should probably look back at the tape of the press conference and see if you can zoom in on Sweeney's face or Jacob's face when he says $64 million, because they could both be like, "We did,
yeah, you
like,
just
we
seen,
never, we didn't say 64
you
million."
See Sweeney make a poop in his pants, like that's just no,
yeah, because it's gone off the rails for
okay.
sure.
Okay, but just know the real story there is Friedman's reporting a lot of the same stuff that Keefe had weeks ago. That's what I would say.
Yep.
If you want to underscore that,
scoop it up.
And you know, if there's going to be a scoop on Jeremy Swayman and like a trade request or a contract. You know, a thaw in the negotiations, it's probably going to come from Rich. Just FYI. Scoops Keefe will probably have it. 617-779-7937. No pressure there, Keefe. We'll get to the Celtics. Who's the biggest threat to the Seas in the Eastern Conference? That's next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Taking your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We'll get back into Drake May, his timeline to play. Are we actually going to see him this year? I'm starting to get a little nervous about that. And how does the David Andrews injury tie into all of it? If you missed it earlier today, he's being put on season-ending injured reserve. Mark Daniels of Mass Live is reporting that he wants to try to play again in 2025, but he'll be done for this year. So a story worth monitoring all day long here on WEEI. We haven't talked a ton about the Karl-Anthony Towns trade. We talked about it briefly on Monday, Keefe.
Yes, in the old grab bag.
It was, top of the bag.
Yep.
On Monday. I don't love the trade for New York. And I wouldn't feel more threatened by the Knicks if I were the Celtics. In fact, I'd feel less threatened. I think the Knicks are a less scary team. Not that I had them really threatening the Celtics in the first place, but I think the Knicks took a half step in the wrong direction with this trade.
I would still say they're the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East, but I think it just got a little easier on the Celtics. I don't know how you feel about the landscape in the East. I think we're all picking the Celtics to get out of the conference, probably to win again.
Yep.
But I think this trade just made it easier on them.
First of all, I love a big NBA trade. Yeah. You get them all the time. And right before the season starts, this one came out of nowhere. I had no clue that these guys were even being shopped around. So Julius Randle, who has been an all-NBA player. I think he's a flawed player, and I'm not sure exactly. He's been second-team All-NBA a few times, but I don't consider him anywhere near a top-10 player, but maybe that's a me thing. Karl-Anthony Towns.
I don't think anyone considers him a top-10 player, FYI.
But if you're All-NBA second-team, the deductive reasoning would be like he's probably in the mix at least for top-10.
Yeah, the Knicks have been good. I mean, you tend to
reward those guys. But Brunson's way better than
the best player on a good team, but you're right. Brunson is way better. True.
So I think Karl-Anthony Towns, as he figured out as his career has gone on, he can't be the number one at all. And I guess you could argue, depending on how much you like Bridges, is he even the number two on the Knicks? So I actually like I think the Knicks, if somebody had to win the trade, I would say the Knicks won the trade. I'm surprised the T-Wolves.
Well, they got more talented.
That's what I'm saying. So
They got more talented.
I'll take that.
But are they better?
I think Towns is going to be more consistent than Randle. I kind of put DiVincenzo to the side. Like, all right, he's a useful player, but I think you can get somebody
to
do those minutes.
He's a bench shooter. You can find a bench shooter.
I thought the T-Wolves, because they surprised people last year with how far they got, I thought they'd run it back again. Because they made that deal with Gobert, and I'm like, I don't really like the Gobert deal for them. But they were pretty good, and Anthony Edwards was on the rise. I thought you would have kept those guys together for another year instead of shaking it up. I think Randle might ball hog it a little too much for Edwards. That could either work well or horribly. So, I think the Knicks actually won the trade. I think they're a little bit better, but I had them at least a tier down below the Celtics regardless.
Me too.
So they're slightly better. The Bridges addition made them a little bit better, obviously. So they're better than they were last year. Plus, they were really hurt last year, so you never really saw a full-on Knicks series.
I get why the Knicks made the trade in some ways, because I'm normally a talent over everything guy. If you can go get what we were talking about earlier today with Davante Adams. Is he a diva? Sure. And is your locker room already a problem? Yeah. But if you can get a talented player, I'm willing to look the other way. The Knicks were a rare team that felt like they were more than the sum of their parts.
They're doing that Nova thing.
Right. And so I kind of bought into that. And it's not like I thought they were going to take down the Celtics, but I did feel.
They could win the Big East. if they play their cards right.
They play it at the Garden, so I would hope. But I still think the Knicks are the second best team in the East, but now I think they're closer to Philly than they were a couple of days ago, and I think they're further away from the Celtics. And I thought if the Knicks were going to get anything right, they had a big card up their sleeve. I said this all offseason. Randle is a trade chip, and now they use that trade chip, and I don't love Towns. He's soft.
So they're not as tough, but he's a much better shooter, right? So
definitely a better
big
shooter.
Guy chucking from three, because Randle will still he thinks he's a good shooter.
Oh, he'll shoot a lot.
He'll shoot plenty from the outside, which I think you can kind of drive yourself nuts. Now I think if all the attention's on Brunson,
Towns can go stand in the corner. Brunson can penetrate
threes,
and find
though.
Him. Yes, no, he will.
Yeah.
He will.
So I don't know. I'm not scared or anything like that, or be like, oh my god, watch out for the Knicks.
The second best team in the East.
So I like Cleveland. I'm a big Donovan Mitchell guy.
I thought you were going to say Philly. You're not even saying Philly.
I like Cleveland. No, Philly, I feel like with Embiid's going
to choke it away. I'm not telling you what to say.
Don't dare talk for me.
You're supposed to say Philly, kid.
No, Philly, so I like Paul George more than anybody else in the East Coast. Everybody hates Paul George. I think he's a scrub.
Yeah, this is why I thought you were pro-Philly.
No, but I think he's getting towards the end of it. He is not the same Paul George as he once was. I mean, how many big threes can Joel Embiid be a part of that all lose in the second round? So I'm good. I think they're not going to be a threat. I think
I won't believe in Philly until they do it. That's not fair to them, I guess. But I won't until they actually do it, meaning knock off the Celtics, I'm never going to believe in that team.
I agree. I think there's just something standing in the way, and it might be Embiid. He might be the reason why they're there, but then also the reason why they can't get through it, whatever it is. So I put them as that's going to be a fun matchup to watch, and it's star powers. I like Maxey. He's a really good player, but I think it would be more likely, and I don't think anybody's beaten the Celtics in the East, but it might in the next couple of years, one of these teams that's more on the rise. And so if you have Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, and Darius Garland, I like that. I love Mitchell. So I think that would be a group, if they're healthy, would have the best chance of anybody. Because we haven't even mentioned Milwaukee.
I was just going to say, are we all overlooking Milwaukee?
Maybe. Because I can't wait for Celtics-Bucks Eastern Conference Finals next year. And then you're like, oh, the Bucks are horrible.
Yeah.
Then they're like, let's get Doc Rivers. I was like, all right, forget it. They have no chance.
That is a big strike against them.
But Middleton seems like he is cooked.
Washed.
Yep. And then Giannis is still a top five player in the league. I love Lillard, but that did not seem like a great combo. Like, they definitely have to regret moving on from Jrue Holiday.
Another team we haven't mentioned, Indy, who was competitive with the Celtics last year, but I still don't fully buy. I think Terp is higher on them
Indy?
Than maybe we are.
Yeah, I mean, Halliburton's a fun player. I know he was, like, benched on he didn't play on the Team USA, but he's really, really good. Well, like, he's a fun player to watch.
And he's another injured player the Celtics didn't have to face.
Correct.
In the playoffs. But here's the real story to me. The Celtics should still win the East going away. Like, I think the Knicks got a little worse. I don't believe in Philly. I don't believe in Milwaukee. Yeah, Cleveland's an interesting team. Indy was competitive last year. They should still win the East going away. And even though these teams got better than a year ago in the case of the Bridges trade for New York.
I think New York and Philly both got a little bit better, but there's a gap there.
Well, but again, New York got better than last year based on the Bridges trade, but I think they've gotten worse in the last couple of days based on the Towns trade, my opinion.
But don't you think, just from last year's team, and I know they were hurt at the end, but just Bridges and Towns over Randle and DiVincenzo, like, I think they're better, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you at least give them that.
But I would rather have Bridges and Randle than Bridges and Towns, I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah. But they won 50 games last year, and they were the number two seed in the East.
Right.
There's no real excuse for the Celtics. It's all about them. It's all about them. Is Jaylen Brown hungry? Is Tatum hungry? I know everybody says they are. Let's actually see if they are. Do they take a step back because defending title teams don't win the last 5 years in the NBA? Does the sale get in the way for the Celtics? Does Porzingis factor into it in any way? His health? Those are the questions. It's not about New York. It's not about Philly or Cleveland or Indy or anybody else. Milwaukee, the East is still wide open, and it's still there for the taking for the Celtics.
Yeah, I think this is the year that they break that streak, the NBA does, with the back-to-back champions. I think this is the best version of the Celtics. Last year was the first year. The Celtics have been knocking on the door for a while, but last year was the first year with Holiday and Porzingis. So I think they're the best team. And if you also look at the previous five, I think they're the best suited to win back-to-back. You know, Denver, I thought Denver was at least going to get back last year, and they didn't. So that's sort of like a surprise. But the other ones are, you know, Kawhi Leonard on the Raptors, LeBron in the bubble, Durant with the Warriors. Like, there's sort of more obvious, or Curry, with the Warriors, where they really weren't a great team anymore. That was sort of their last gasp.
Yeah.
But they're primed to win back-to-back.
So what do you think? You can jump in on this. Who's the biggest threat to the Celtics? I guess themselves is probably the right answer. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to Drake May and his timeline. Are we going to see him at all in 2024? I'm starting to wonder. We'll get to it next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.